Isn't this a sports show?
We have 18 minutes left, and we haven't actually talked about anything.
Almost entirely.
Whenever we come back, we'll talk about football. That's a promise that we probably will not be able to live up to. That's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever every other station in the city is on a commercial break, maybe we won't be.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
This isn't exactly how I phrase it, but this is the more concise way for me to be saying this. This show's better when I prepare more. Duh.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
If you want to throw bread at me for $5, you can 100% do that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Let me paint the picture. Passion Fruit by Drake was playing over the loudspeakers. I was just a few yards off of the practice field. Patrick Mahomes was stretching, and for a moment, everything was good and pure. All was right in the world whenever I was at training camp earlier today. It was perfect. And then nothing happened for like 2 hours. Like, after that happened, I basically watched Derek Nnadi and D-Liner go through a whole bunch of defensive line tasks for like 2 hours straight. Which did, like, give me some joy because I love the fact that the Chiefs have a defensive lineman named D-Liner. That obviously gives me enormous gratification. But that was the gist of it today. It was that beautiful scene. And then some other stuff. Breland Speaks picked off Patrick Mahomes, and that concludes my Chiefs training camp day in review. But the more important thing that was probably happening today was the fact that Bashaud Breland was in St. Joe meeting with the Chiefs. And so we'll talk about that at some point. Seth Kizer joins us at 5, as he always does. We'll talk a little bit about Breland if the Chiefs should make a move there. And I would honestly, I would be expecting some sort of news during the show today. At some point, this is my guess, some sort of news about Breland and if the Chiefs let him leave the building or if they make a move. Right now, nothing yet. He apparently was in St. Joe. I saw a report earlier that said that the Chiefs, if the injury situation checks out, the Chiefs did not intend to let him leave without a contract. And that was a tweet, you know, citing a source. And so that I'm willing to have a little bit of skepticism there, but I also have no reason to think that it's made up. But that's the place we're at today right now. Apparently the Chiefs are just needing to get the injury side of things checked out. And then they move on with, hopefully, signing Bashaud Breland. So that's the thing to keep an eye on today. And if we don't get any news throughout the show, then, you know, this podcast lives on a little longer in relevance. And everybody's happy. But the Chiefs should absolutely do this. It's not even questionable to me. Now, there is a point in time or money when perhaps you begin to question things. But if the Chiefs look at his injury and then they look at his health and they say, you know what? We're not worried here. I like what we're looking at. We know that this guy, as a player, is someone that we're willing to put some money into, then they ought to do it. It was a 3-year, $24 million deal with the Panthers, which was voided after he failed a physical back earlier in free agency. And because of the fact that he's coming back from an injury, lots of people are saying that, you know, for Breland, it'll probably be something like a 1-year prove-it deal, although there seem to be enough interested teams. I think the Raiders and Colts being the two main ones other than the Chiefs, and Breland left Oakland without a deal. There seem to be enough interested teams that if he is healthy, or even just passes whatever teams need him to pass for him to seem like a viable option, then he may have enough leverage to get more than a single year. I don't know if he wants more than a single year, though. If Breland thinks he's the same player, then he would probably take the one-year deal. He would successfully assume that he's going to prove it. And then you get a bigger deal next offseason. I could see that working out with either team, with either side here, with both team and player. But honestly, if the health isn't a concern, then the Chiefs could do something that started to look a little bit like that Panthers deal. I don't know how much of that money is supposed to be guaranteed, and I'd like to avoid paying, you know, the new guy, what would that be, like $8 million a year? Yeah, that's what it would pan out as. That's a lot of money. But if the Chiefs got a little bit of a discount because of the injury and they said, you know what, this is the guy we want, I would be willing to sign off on that. That number's a bit high, but I'm guessing someone's going to give him that number. And if the Chiefs want to give him a number like that for 1 year, or if they want to try to get a better number for multiple years, I'm okay with it. I really am. Because if Bashaud Breeland does sign with the Chiefs, he immediately becomes this team's second or third best cornerback. Ian Wharton, who is the absolute peak of cornerback evaluation. He's on Twitter. I can't remember what his Twitter is, actually. I think it's like NFL Draft Scout or something. It's not specifically about cornerbacks. I'm going to find it. I'm Googling now. NFL Film Study. There. He's at NFL Film Study, and he was tweeting about the Colts secondary and saying, you know what, this Colts secondary is not in as bad of a position as you may think. But then he took that and said, also, if the Colts sign Breland, then they're actually in pretty decent shape. And I was going to try to find the exact quote here, but he listed, here we go. He says, let's talk about if they add Breland, this time talking about the Colts. Breland finished 10th in my press man corner rankings last year. That's a pretty good look for Bashaud Breeland, especially for a Chiefs team that tends to do a lot of pressing. And Ian said a few days ago, talking about Breeland, this would be an excellent signing. Would allow Melvin to be rotational third corner. I think this is about the Raiders and the Raiders could have two young studs with Breeland and Conley. Calling Breeland a young stud here is a really good look for what the Chiefs could potentially get from him. He's better than David Amerson immediately. I think both his ceiling and his floor are better, ceiling higher, floor higher than Amerson. He might be better than Steven Nelson right now. He also might be a little bit of a long-term solution. I was talking about Sam Beal in this way, that, you know, that the Chiefs really not only do they need immediate help, they also need a long-term investment in the position. They could do a little bit of that here. And now, is this going to be a team tweaking, team overhauling, championship guarantee sort of move? No, but I don't think anybody thinks it's going to be. I don't think anyone needs to really be corrected on that. I think it's totally reasonable, though, to look at him as an upgrade of what the Chiefs have. Again, not just for the immediate, but also for the relative long term. I feel like that makes a ton of sense. Sam Hayes commented on the Facebook page. You can always watch the show on Facebook, by the way. Facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. Come check it out. Sam says, and they shouldn't even just settle for Breeland. Get Eli Rogers and Jonathan Hankins too. Make wide receiver even more of a force and solidify the D-line by upgrading over Alan Bailey. I'm in the same boat on that. We talked about Eli Rogers a little bit yesterday. There's no reason to not be gluttonous in these conversations, and it sounds like Rogers is going to end up elsewhere. I don't know about Hankins yet. Whenever you have a little bit of flexibility, and this is something that you're given, whenever you have a quarterback on a rookie contract, we talked about that a lot, if you've got that availability to be a little bit flexible, and you're not terribly, terribly deeply invested in a bunch of other places. You've got a lot of guys on rookie contracts playing in big roles for you. You can afford to either spend big on some of your number two or three guys at a certain position. So the Chiefs, you know, had Tyreek Hill at a super cheap number, so you can afford to spend on Sammy Watkins. You've got Kareem Hunt really cheaply, so it allows you to spend elsewhere. They didn't do it at the running back position, and I do think it'll be Spencer Ware, though. We can afford to do that. So go load up with all of your pass catchers. Go load up in the places whenever you can spend a little more to not only just improve the guys that end up starting, but improve your depth. That's totally fine with me. Maybe some of these guys want to hear that they're going to be a big part of a rotation. Maybe they want to make sure that people know that they are, you know, a number two or three receiver. Maybe Eli Rogers wanted to be assured that he was going to get to play a certain percentage of snaps. The Chiefs could not assure him of that. I don't know. But I think it's a super interesting investment. And also, the defensive line, looking at Jonathan Hankins, the defensive line is in interesting shape right now because I don't know where it goes behind Chris Jones and Alan Bailey, much less trying to jump over Alan Bailey. Also, Seamus says that he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt too today, that Beards missed the memo. I don't know what I would even think if Beards wore a Hawaiian shirt.
It would involve having a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, I don't even know what I would do with myself if you wore one. You're wearing a Westworld shirt today, right?
I am.
Beards had to explain it to me the first time he wore it. It's like a maze and there's somebody inside of it.
It's a great shirt.
Whatever floats your boat. But Seamus says, like, there's too many names in the room for Rodgers. And see, that's where I disagree. Now, the depth does get a little more absurd. But the top of the roster becomes Hill, Watkins, and Rodgers. Obviously, Travis Kelce's catching a ton of passes also. And then Chris Conley gets bumped to a four. DeMarcus Robinson gets bumped to a five. And then, you know, a guy like Garrett and Deontay Thomas to a six. And then Garrett Dieter gets bumped off the roster. I don't think that needs to be something that you're afraid of. Go ahead and do that. I think we're largely, as Chiefs fans, we found ourselves getting used to talking ourselves into some of those guys. You know, like talking yourselves into, oh yeah, we did this yesterday. We came up with some names, like Tony Moiaki and John Baldwin, but there's another one even that, like, one of those guys that's just like, oh, you know what, maybe he could develop into something. On some level, Dexter McCluster, but that's an imperfect comp because he's also a running back. Positionless, whatever. But I'm not afraid of that. I would not say there are too many names in the room for Eli Rogers if he wants to be here. If he's willing to entertain being the third or fourth receiver on a team that now suddenly has four or five receivers, maybe six, who can actually get on the field. So yeah, maybe it costs Jehu Chesson his spot, but man, I'm not losing sleep over Jehu Chesson because it's 2018 and the Chiefs have a ton of talent in their wide receiver room. Like that's good with me. I'm totally okay with that. If you can have names at depth, that's okay. Your depth guys don't have to be sixth round draft picks. They often do by the situation. The situation often determines that you've just got to let yourselves have one of those guys as, you know, your depth in whatever situation. But that's not a rule. If you can make it Eli Rogers, or you can make it, you know, if your third running back is Kerwin Williams, which is something that may end up happening, a guy that, like, you've heard of, and your running back, and you have to cut Charcandrick West, that's good news. That means your team is getting stupidly deep. And we'll talk to Seth Kaiser in a little while here about his column about Spencer Ware, which I think is fascinating.
That's the case I'm doing.
You know, it's really good, encouraging radio whenever I yawn into the microphone during my own show. But I've been up since like 5:30 this morning because I could get out to training camp. And I had so much coffee. I've already had like 5 cups of coffee today. And it's all worn off. And so I need to be injected with a topic Now Beards is yawning. Beards, you got to leave. You got to leave the room if you're going to yawn. Or you got to, like, walk over out of my line of sight. Or just scoot your chair away.
Or just turn around.
I think I'm going to know, though, now. I think it's going to still trigger it. Go ahead and try. Oh, no, hold on. Doesn't matter. It's too late. I got another one coming.
I'm also not yawning.
No, I did. You turned around and I yawned anyway. I know it's an extremely good sign. Anyway. From Breland to Eli Rogers, who I don't think they're going to sign, to Jonathan Hankins, to whoever. I am completely on board with the Chiefs making some sort of move of that caliber to say, hey, we are going to make guys our depth pieces that a lesser team would try to convert into a number two or three option. That's what good teams do. Good teams figure out a way to make their number two running back, the guy that was starting for the Browns last year. And that's really the case in lots of instances. Go, wow, holy cow. Kareem Hunt got hurt and Spencer Ware got hurt, and the Chiefs still have Kerwin Williams and that guy who just couldn't get on the field with LSU because he was stuck behind Darius Geis and Leonard Fournette. Holy bleep, what a crazy backfield. Good teams do stuff like that. And the Chiefs are a good team right now. I don't know how you could not be just like stoked by any of that. And again, I think there's a chance that we'll hear some news about Bashaud Breland relatively soon. I don't know that we're going to. That's not me being clever. I don't know that. But it seems like with the timeline of being in St. Joe and hanging out with the team and everything, that you're going to see them get their medicals figured out relatively soon, maybe before the show wraps up live today. I know lots of people listen to the show via podcast, and so maybe if you're listening to the show in the future, then maybe you know already what happened. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, I want to take two different directions, and if the Chiefs do or don't sign Breland today, and so if you're listening again on the podcast in the future, and you know, they either did or didn't, then I'll give you half that analysis then, and hopefully we'll have something to really talk about with it either later today or tomorrow. But I want to make sure that you've got my optimism or pessimism set up now, and also this break will give me an excuse. Did you go try to find some caffeine or something, baby? I don't know what's going on. This is a nightmare. I can't stop yawning. What a good show we're doing.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Oh, no. Beard just made a very upset face. Very Chiefy show after we figure out what the hell just happened to Beards.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You need nothing like that. Like,
I went left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever you occasionally hear anger in Beards' voice, it's because he's at war with equipment his own age.
On ESPN Kansas City.
The internet today has been disastrous. In fact, this playing of Sugar We're Going Down is actually about our Wi-Fi in the building today.
And our Facebook.
Did it go down?
Well, it's... So, on my computer, it looks like it's gone down. But it is still running and still connected and everything. So we're still streaming.
Barely. You would think.
Maybe.
You would think that it would be worth making sure our internet was working. But, yeah, you can't have it all, right? Also, our third microphone in here is broken. So now we're going to look at Charlie tomorrow whenever he's in for Wet Wild Wacky Wednesday. Hopefully we'll figure that out.
I mean, I assume so.
Yeah, so if you're watching on the Facebook page, the The fates are stacked against us. If you're just listening on the radio, great. If you're listening on the podcast, great. I also had someone tweet in earlier. Roger tweeted in and said that the stream has been terrible. And so I'm sorry about that also. I wonder if it has something to do with our internet. I have no idea. It seems logical. It's been really, really terrible today, and it was also very bad yesterday. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know, but I'm sorry. I do not know how to fix it. Other than to scream, and then someone will ask why I'm screaming and who I am and who let me in here.
Now they'll just come and shush you and then just go back to their normal job.
Probably true. I wanted to go on a kind of round two on the Brashad Breland conversation, but also I wanted to give you the details on what happened with Spencer Ware earlier today. He also spoke to the media, and we may or may not play some of that for you today. But over on 8:10, starting tomorrow night, I have Chief Concerns from 6 to 7, and then from, I don't know, later that night. For every weekday, starting tomorrow, every weekday after Sports Night or Baseball Tonight postgame, during Chiefs training camp, I'm going to have a show sort of wrapping up everything that happened that day in camp about anything. The sound, what the players said, the coaches said, things that actually happened, topics of conversation. I will be doing that on 8:10 every night late. I'll be tweeting about it from my account and from the Sports Radio 8:10 account whenever those shows are actually happening. So keep an eye out for that. Those all start tomorrow. But Field Yates, I think, had this first. He tweeted that Spencer Ware restructured his deal with $725,000 of his $1.45 million base salary being converted into incentives. That's about half of his contract. Ware has a very real shot at hitting those incentives and making the full $1.45 million. And so the Chiefs get a little bit of immediate salary cap relief here. Maybe it's because Brashad Breland is in town. Maybe. Hopefully. That would be great. But it also gives them a little more flexibility around Ware just as a runner and as a guy who can make the team, because he and Tarkendrick West both had similar cap situations, which made both of them slightly more likely candidates to be cut, although I thought the Chiefs would have paid Spencer Ware his actual due pay if it did ultimately get that close to the chopping block. I still thought they would keep him, and that's something we'll talk to Seth Kizer about in a few. But I thought it made sense for the Chiefs to keep him around, and now it makes even more sense as his cap number drops a little bit. I also think that it makes it a little less likely that Tarkendrick West ends up on this team. And again, not to supersede what we're going to talk about with Seth, but I really think that at this point we have lost how good Spencer Ware has been because we saw Kareem Hunt be very, very good last year. I just think we're losing the truth on this, which is that Spencer Ware he's one of those running backs. I don't want to say he's a second-tier running back, because that's probably giving him a little bit too much credit, just insofar as how running backs in the NFL work. And, you know, there's a difference between whatever Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley. Then, you know, tier two might be Kareem Hunt. But I would say that, and this is a rough estimate, I would say that running backs like 12 through 25 are basically the same in the NFL, and that Spencer Ware is one of those guys. Outside of their own talent, whenever you're getting to 15 or 12 through 25, in that range, you're getting guys who are largely determined by their surroundings, by the blocking they receive, by the schemes, by their quarterback, by the load they're asked to carry, by what it is that they're asked to do. And so, like, I mean, we've seen really good stuff from Isaiah Crowell for splashes here and there, and Terrence West, and we saw it from Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and oh man, who was the other Bengals running back? And Jeremy Hill. I knew Beards was not gonna. I wasn't actually asking you, Beards. I wasn't gonna ask you to try to name Jeremy Hill for me. I knew.
What's
I was on my
Bengal?
Own. Yeah, it's a sort of jungle cat. But like, you know, Jeremy Hill might also be in there, but his situation made him drop out of that a little more quickly than others. And maybe those guys I just all mentioned are outside of 25. But there are guys in that region that I think you would go, oh, yeah, no, I mean, you'll probably have a big-name guy show up in there somewhere. Like, I don't know 100% what Derrick Henry is. You might be able to say, hey, you know what, if you switch situations with Spencer Ware and Derrick Henry, maybe Derrick Henry's got him by a bit, but he's in that 12 to 25 range, and maybe you put Derrick Henry at 14 and you put Spencer Ware at 21, just throwing out totally random numbers, and this might be unfair to Derrick Henry, I don't know. I don't know, even know why he filled that void in my head just then. But maybe it's, you know, maybe it's 14 and 24, but I would say that in that rough range, all of those guys can look like really good starting NFL running backs, or they could be sort of painted in a smaller role that limits their impact. But if any of those guys are your number one running back, then you've got a little bit of a problem. If one of those guys is your second running back, you're in amazing shape. And so even if you've got one of those guys and someone else from that region as your 1-2, you're in good shape. But Kareem Hunt is a better than mid-range running back. And I think Spencer Ware could absolutely be a number one back on an NFL team. He was for the Chiefs. He was supposed to be, honestly, with Kareem Hunt. But I think Spencer Ware would be a deserving number one running back on a team that would be, you know, keeping their eyes open for some other options. But it's hard to improve on Spencer Ware without going and drafting Leonard Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott, or really getting Kareem Hunt in a third round situation. And so all of that to say, I don't think any of these other guys on this roster are that. The Williamses, and all three of them have traits that I'm interested in and that I like. And Charkandrick West, who I think is a nice running back, a nice change of pace, sort of third down guy. But that is a trait that gets a little less exciting with age. I think Spencer Ware is a legitimate fringe number one running back in football. And he would be, if you consider number one running back to be one of the 32 best, he is absolutely one of those. I say number one running back thinking of almost in like a fantasy term, where the top 10 guys are number one backs, or a guy that you're okay if he's your number one running back in a fantasy football lineup. For a little while in there, Spencer Ware was that guy whenever he was getting all the carries. And so I'm really hopeful for his return. I'm really hopeful for what it is that Spencer Ware can do getting back into this rotation, and then also what it's going to mean for Kareem Hunt. I think it's going to be fantastic because it allows Hunt to not be on the field so constantly, and it gives defenses an extremely talented, like, top-of-the-line number two running back, a fresh number two guy who is better than that they have to deal with after getting grounded down by Kareem Hunt for a little while. I just think it's an awesome setup. And that might be the best 1-2 punch in any backfield in the league right now. And if you are listening live and you want to correct me as we're going, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. You can comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page for a better 1-2 punch. There's probably someone out there, and maybe you argue it's Le'Veon Bell and whoever is behind Le'Veon Bell, which might be D'Angelo Williams still. He's like 1,000 years old. He's amazing if he's still playing. But whatever. You might have an argument in there somewhere for Leonard Fournette and whoever's behind him at this point. But getting away from trying to frame it perfectly, I really like what the Chiefs have in their backfield. And it gets significantly more stable and more talented with Spencer Ware joining it again. And so the restructuring of his contract, to me, is nothing but another sign that the Chiefs want him to be the number two guy. And then third, it's Darrell Williams, I think, is fascinating. Kerwin Williams, and I think it's Damian Williams. There's so many Williamses. and then Charkandrick West. I don't think that West can make the team because his cap number this year is about $2 million. They could clear 1.7 by cutting him. And over the cap hasn't been updated with Spencer Ware's new details yet, so I don't know exactly what the differentiation on that one is. But and not that $2 million is an absolute ton of money. Chris Conley's making more than that, and honestly, I think that's something to keep an eye on. I think that's a little bit interesting. They could cut him and just clear $2 million. But if they don't go sign Eli Rogers, I don't think Chris Conley's going anywhere. I think your number three receiver and four pass catcher, also maybe four and five if DeMarcus Robinson jumps him. That's all right. That goes back to, you know what, just go ahead and spend that money out this year. Don't carry the tiny bit of dead cap that comes with it. Just go ahead and pay that out and give Pat Mahomes as many weapons as possible. Never force him to throw to a bad receiver. Although they still only have Demetrius Harris as their number two tight end, and he's also making $2.3 million this year, which is kind of a lot. Did someone just start mowing outside? It's really loud. I'm getting that loudly through my microphone.
Oh, no, it's very loud.
Great. I could point it away from the mic, and I could point the microphone away from the outside wall here, and then I'm sort of like laying across the Facebook Live page.
Well, you're more like you're half hidden behind the beard's box.
So do I look decapitated on the stream now?
No, it just looks like your mouth is the only thing there.
That's pretty much how I always imagine that people think I look. Just a big mouth.
It's pretty accurate.
I mean, I can't try to like cross it up. Ooh, no, this is as far as this arm goes.
And also now your face is being hidden by the mic stand.
Yeah, no, I know it's not great. I just wanted to try to avoid the sound of the lawn mowing for like a minute. Maybe I did it successfully. We'll find out. But Demetrius Harris notwithstanding, I love the idea of never making Patrick Mahomes have to rely on a guy around him that isn't an exceptional football player. And that's all of those guys in the backfield. It's all of those receivers. But whenever you have to make decisions as far as who's going to fill out your backfield, if West is a $2 million cap hit, and there are four Williams on the roster? Oh, Xavier Williams, okay. And Damian Williams would be over $1 million, and they could cut him for basically nothing. Kerwin Williams is $600,000, they could cut him for literally nothing. Darrell Williams, I've talked about a bunch, is under $500,000, they could cut him for literally nothing. But one of those cheaper guys, the $1 million of difference between, and almost one and a half, between those Williamses and Charkandrick West, I think that matters a little bit. I think that matters enough that you can look at the cap situation you have, and right now, per over the cap, the Chiefs have $7.5 million in cap space, which is absolutely more than I thought they had at this point. And if they don't spend that, it rolls over into next year, and then next year you continue to build around Mahomes in a way that starts to get like really absurd. But you can look at what the Chiefs have here. You can make the room for Bashaud Breeland if you want that out of the gate. And if they do, by the way, like the hype is going to continue to run out of control. Also, the idea that Brett Veach is like just waiting for next year gets even sillier, and I'm totally on board with that. Spend your time while you have it here with Pat Mahomes. But I really like Spencer Ware in this conversation. And I think that this is the way that the backfield should go. I think that the only thing that changes for me with the contract is that he gets even more likely. James tweeted at us. I guess his name's actually James. His name on Twitter is I Am Nap Time, and he tweets the show a bunch. I just realized I don't really know his actual name. His @ is James Worthy with a Z. So feel free to tell me, James, if I'm giving you a name that isn't yours. But I'm an Eagles fan, so I like to think Blunt Force and Ajayi, # Blunt Force, as being the better running back duo. And it's not. I don't think it is. It's close. It's a good duo. But I think LeGarrette Blount is one of those other guys that's in that category of Spencer Ware. But Spencer Ware is a better pass catcher. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who wouldn't take Kareem Hunt over Jay Ajayi in a vacuum. It's just by a little bit, probably. I don't know if it's by an enormous margin, But I think I would take Spencer Ware, especially in an Andy Reid system. I think I'd take Spencer Ware by a smidge over LeGarrette Blount, and I think I would take Kareem Hunt by a smidge over Jay Ajayi. But it is a good comp, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I asked for other options. And that is a very good backfield. They just won the Super Bowl, by the way. The obvious one I miss is the Saints, with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. That's the obvious one that I assume that someone's going to tweet me in the future after the podcast, because that one's obvious.
There are a couple of those in the comment section.
Oh, I didn't see that.
There's a lot of comments today.
Yeah, tell me some of these things. I can't be spinning all these. Let's see. Roger commented that as the internet was being disastrous elsewhere, he made it to the Facebook page. Hi, Roger. Sorry that the Facebook is laggy, Sam. I suggested that we try to do something earlier to reset things, but we didn't. We weren't able to. So we're just struggling. You can write your senator and tell them to get us better internet. That won't help. Nothing will help. Seamus says, pound the rock with Hunt and Ware, and then on short third downs and later in the game, give a shifty back. I read that poorly the first time. Some snaps with Veda, a tired defense. Yeah. And even, honestly, you're looking for a shifty guy? Kareem Hunt can be that guy on third downs. Not to say that Spencer Ware should push Kareem Hunt into a third down back role. I don't think that's true at all. But you can effectively do that with any number of different setups. It's just gonna be wild. So if it's Darrell Williams, that third running back, I think is probably a guy that's a little more on the developmental side. If it's one of the other Williamses, then maybe that is a third dude that comes in that situation. Sam also said Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman, another good one from Atlanta. Seamus says Johnson and Peterson. There are a bunch in that direction. Did LeGarrette Blount go to the Lions? Oh, yes, he did, because we all saw his ding-dong in his team photo. Google that one.
I don't remember this.
Google LeGarrette Blount Lions photo. I remember it being in silver pants. He seemed very, very excited to be a Detroit Lion.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't remember this.
You can see his blunt.
Okay.
Yep. Say okay one more time.
Nah, I'm good.
Yep.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Excited to be a Lion. Yeah, he did. Falcons and Saints, and there are a handful of examples where I think that's the Chiefs don't have the best backfield, but they have one of those. Where again, also if Tevin Coleman is your number one guy, I don't know if you're thrilled, but if he's the guy that's behind Devonta Freeman, you're in good shape. If Mark Ingram is your number one running back, I think you're hurting. But if he's your number two behind Alvin Kamara, you're in great shape. And that one is super comparable to the Chiefs, by the way, where I think you could have had Kareem Hunt like winning Rookie of the Year last year. He had more rushing yards than Alvin Kamara, but Kamara did it a little more high profile. And Kamara is a beast. But those two guys are super comparable, and I think at this point you can make an argument that you'd take Spencer Ware, at least healthy, over Mark Ingram. And so I think the Chiefs are doing that. And you saw how good those two guys made Drew Brees look last year. And I think at this point, they probably are pretty well set up to win the division again. Makes a ton of sense. And so the Chiefs are going to try to do that with their own two guys here, with Hunt and Ware. I think it's silly to lump Spencer Ware in with Tre'Quendre West and all these Williamses. I think Ware is the obvious second best back in this backfield. All right, next, whenever we come back, I'll actually talk more about Bashaud Breeland and what happens if the Chiefs do or don't sign him. Yes, I know I said that last segment, but I got sidetracked, so I want to talk about Spencer Ware. I do not apologize. Also, I did a whole walk around the building looking for caffeine last segment and last commercial break, and I don't know if caffeine actually helps me anymore. I drank a ton of it, a ton of coffee and stuff in high school. And also all of college, actually, more in college. Wow, yeah, so much more in college. I'm only like, you know, a year removed from either of those at this point. I'm basically still in high school. But I've wondered if I've been numbed to anything caffeinated. I don't know. But I just went to look anyway, and the fridge that sometimes has soda in it, empty. Coffee pot, empty. Fridge where I occasionally hide energy drinks that I buy if I ever do, empty. I'm in kind of a desperate place. Also, Tony, so didn't Ware have some weird stat like most yards per carry in his first 12 carries? There was something like that. There have to be some strange Spencer Ware stats that would really surprise you. Maybe I'll give you some of those weird Spencer Ware stats next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Oh, no. OBS, don't disconnect.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Damn it.
Oh, no. Did we lose Facebook?
With Joshua Briscoe.
It's fantastic.
It's back. It's back.
Okay, good. I hope they heard you screaming.
Whenever it does that, I just have to hope and pray it connects soon. There's nothing I can do about it.
Right, right. It's completely outside of your own control.
Like everything in this building.
Everything.
The board decides to just explode. Can't do anything about that. Internet shuts down. Oh, that's out of my comfort zone.
I stop talking. Uh-oh.
I'm screwed.
You're screwed.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Corey tweets in and says, if caffeine isn't working, you should try cocaine. It would energize you and the training wreck on air until you're ultimately fired. It would be entertaining radio. I have thought about it. I don't know if I could get cocaine. Still no word at this moment about Brashad Breeland. I want to add an R in there all the freaking time. Friend of the show, former friend of the show, now dead to us, Kent Swanson, tweeted, Bus should have heard by now. And that's not why he's dead to us, but that's one of that added to the list. Dead, Kent. Freaking dead.
Say it into the camera.
Dead to us. Bashad have heard by now. Is that better? Did I deliver it well enough? Dead. Shameful. There's something else that I wanted to read before I got to the actual Breeland thing. No, Seamus has listed something called caffeineinformer.com. Oh, I also got an email. Remember the story from early last week about how Renee found a great listing on some housing place and emailed it enough for it to realize it was the Nigerian prince homeowner?
Vaguely.
This is a story I told. You would have only heard it in the best of, probably, Beards, but that's the thing that happened. Renee found a place that we could have all moved and we would have all been blissful because it was like half of what it seemed like it should have cost and all of the utilities were included and stuff. Well, I emailed a place through Craigslist that seemed like it may be another one of these setups and I got an email back. Here's the first paragraph of the email I got back. Paragraphs. I got paragraphs back.
Oh, boy.
Here's the first paragraph of the email I got in return. Reaching out, asking for information about this house in Overland Park. Hello. Thanks for your interest and inquiries about my house. It gives me great joy to know that you are interested in my lovely house.
Oh, that's
we recently relocated to Las Vegas to set up our retirement scheme. Scheme?
That's a dangerous word.
Retirement scheme. And that is, and space. That is why we have decided to rent one of our houses to anyone that will take good care of it. I wouldn't like to have any benefit of trust in you because I want to stand in your words that the property would be well taken care of all the time. The spaces are just where there are extra spaces in the paragraph for some reason. I believe you have seen how lovely it is from the pictures you saw in my posting compared to the 100% comfort, 100% space, comfort to be derived from it as you are an occupant. So I already wired them my security deposit.
Sounds totally legit.
This seems awesome.
Did you send a picture of your credit card, too?
I just gave them my social, and they said that would be good, actually. I gave them my social and then just all the money in my bank account.
And, like, a blood sample?
Yeah, and they know my blood type now. And they're also cloning me. to take care of this lovely house, interested in this house of houses. So I am open to ideas for how to respond to that, by the way. Like, does this become, like, do I just, like, get really excited? Do I tell them, please don't hang up? And the response is like, hey, please don't hang up. I love this house. Yes, where do I send the money to? Nathan Aaron. There is a phone number. We could call the phone number.
We'd have to record that.
Yeah, you say that a lot. I just feel like that would be worth it. If we call them and tell them that they're live on air in ESPN Kansas City.
Doesn't work like that.
It does. Yes, it does.
Nope.
If they know that they're on, then they can hang up. It does work like that.
I think it's consent before they get on the air. That's how that works.
They wouldn't be on the air yet. I would be asking, and if they don't consent, do they can hang up? If the Chiefs don't sign Bashaud Breeland, the secondary is in worse shape than it is currently. I'm not going to talk myself into the optimism of that because we've talked about this story a ton of times so far this year. David Amerson is not a place where I'm willing to put all of my faith. I don't like that as a strategy. I hope they sign Breeland. Whatever his actual first name is. R is in it or not. I want him to be the next corner for the Chiefs. Seth Kaiser's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.
Now it's time for very serious football talk with the man who met his wife on a blind date, chaperoned by his parents.
They actually came along on the first date with us. That was a...
No!
I rode in the back seat. I was 22.
The man who needs to take a minute to remember the names of all of his children.
Do all of your kids have the same first letter?
No, actually. Let me think. Do any of them? Tucker, Mason, Cole, Isabel, and Lucas.
The man who can defend you in court, but will probably choose not to.
I'll cop to this on a public setting right now. I am an aggressive cuddler in a consensual sense.
Comma, officer.
Good grief, he's a pastor too? When does this guy sleep?
You will find Seth Kaiser everywhere except for in his or your bed, because not only does he not sleep, he's also a faithful husband. So that's important.
It's Seth Kaiser of The Athletic on Almost Entirely Sports.
Welcome back into Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. Now, once again, as we do every Tuesday about this time, Seth Kaiser of The Athletic joins us today, plagued by allergies. Not you specifically, but everything's okay, right? We're all good?
Yes, everything's okay. My 7-year-old Cole had his first allergy scare in a few years, but he's fine now, and so we're just pushing away. It was a bit of a scare, and so if you don't mind me just saying something that's maybe outside of sports for a second.
That's not really what we do here, Seth. Let's go ahead and stick to the script. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I just want to remind, I mean, maybe not as much you don't have kids right now, but I would want to remind anyone with kids or even just family in general, days can turn very quickly. And there's a lot to be thankful for every day that something really terrible doesn't happen. Mm. And even when something kind of bad happens, it could have been a lot worse today. And so just a friendly reminder, and I understand we have a lot of fun and we joke around a lot, but you know, today could have been a much different day for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that people remember all the blessings we really do have. And that's me waxing eloquent for a second there.
Absolutely. No, my only thought was, okay, now do I compare the you know, the fleetingness of life and the potential of tragedy with the fleetingness of the Chiefs secondary and the tragic possibility
Absolutely.
Of David Amerson starting 16 football games for my football team? Do I make that transition? The answer is apparently yes.
Yes, you would be remiss if you did not.
Yeah, well, so as clunkily as possible, I'll do that really briefly, because right now, I want to be as open with everyone as possible. We're taping this at 1:30 this afternoon, so you're hearing it either in podcast form, God knows when, or quote-unquote live at 5 o'clock, and I think there's a non-zero chance that we have at least some sort of Bashaud Breeland news, because he is in town today, right now. And there's even a report out that if his health is good, that the Chiefs are going to try not to let him leave the building. That's a tweet that I saw from sources. So with that kind of being vague, if the Chiefs do or don't sign Breeland, where do you land on that?
Well, I want to be real careful here because what ends up happening this time of year is even decent free agent signings get really blown up because it's so unexpected. It's like a, it's like if you get a present at a non-holiday, right?
Right.
If like, let's say you've got one of those grandmas that gives you $100 every Christmas.
Right.
If she sends you $10 just to send you $10, you'd be like, whoa, $10. If she gave it to you during Christmas, you'd be like, oh, $10. That's nice. So, we, man, that analogy was on point.
It really was.
And so the deal of it is this. I haven't reviewed Breland yet. I can tell you one thing. If the Chiefs have signed him by now, there will be a Bashard Breland film review up on The Athletic tomorrow. I guarantee
yes.
it.
Yes.
Because that's how I roll.
Yes.
I think people remember when Kendall Fuller was traded for the next day. There was a giant film review released in that morning because I literally stayed up all night to do it. I'll do it again if I have to. I have a little more familiarity with Breland than I normally would because of the Kendall Fuller film review. Mm-hmm. They obviously were teammates in Washington. So there's a couple things to take from this. One, if the Chiefs really want him, that means they've talked to Kendall Fuller, who they love. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, this dude's good. This guy can play.
Yeah.
That's a good thing because people shouldn't assume that just because people are former teammates that they necessarily like each other,
right,
or that they necessarily think highly of each other. And so if Fuller does think highly of Breland, I think that's a good sign with everything we know about Fuller. Here's the other thing. Like I said, I got a chance to watch him a little bit, and I actually got the chance to watch a bunch of them while I'm reviewing Tyreek Hill's film for his film review, and Hill gave him some troubles. But I know this. I know Ian Wharton, who is the cornerback – review God.
Yes.
He is on a different level than everyone else. He likes Breland. He views him as a very solid press corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that matches up with what I saw. Even though the Redskins had him play in zone most often and off man, he's pretty good at impacting receivers, knocking them off their route a little bit, plays the ball pretty well. He's a decent corner. Mm-hmm. And here's why this would be a big deal. The Chiefs are short on decent, proven corners.
Yep.
And so that's great news, but I would urge people not to be too, like, you know, expecting this huge 1-2 combo. He should be an average or above average player.
Yep.
And hey, that's great news, but let's not oversell it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And for me, like, Kendall Fuller is $100 from one grandma at Christmas. David Amerson's like $10 from another grandma at Christmas. And Breland right now would be like $20 for Easter out of nowhere. Like,
I feel
like it's still better than what you got from that one grandma this offseason or Christmas. And it's not Kendall Fuller, but I think that if healthy, Breland is the second or third best cornerback on this team immediately.
I would agree with that. Based on last season's tape, and again, haven't reviewed his tape in its entirety, haven't charted wins and losses, so this is just the eye test here, and I'm always cautious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what I saw, I would put him as he played a little better than Steven Nelson played last year.
Yep.
And Steven Nelson played way better than David Amerson last year. So if we're going off last year's tape alone, and let's say he duplicated that, I think he'd be the second best corner on the team.
Yep. And it feels plausible. So let's move away from that, though, now, because that's probably going to continue to develop. And hopefully next time we talk to you, it'll be after a film review altogether. But you also wrote about Spencer Ware and his return to health. And I was tweeting about this a couple days ago before I even saw that you had written about or going to write about Spencer Ware. I think he ends up being the number two back on this team. I think we forget what he was supposed to be last year. And with how good Kareem Hunt has been, he's been moved to the back burner. What did you find in the Spencer Ware conversation?
Oh, I basically wrote a reminder article, and that's up on The Athletic right now, that Spencer Ware has a number of highly useful skills in Andy Reid's offense. For starters, his ability as a receiver has been largely forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
People need to remember, like, you know, early in the 2016 season, I mean, he was leading the NFL in yards from scrimmage by a mile for the first 6 or 7 weeks. His receiving ability was one of the centerpieces of the offense during that time. He doesn't just come out of the backfield. They lined him up as a slot receiver. He was running slants, ins, outs, whip routes or pivot routes. I mean, he was doing routes you don't normally see from a running back. Now, is he as good a route runner as Damian Williams? No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But he's a significantly better runner. And that's what changes the dynamic there. Is Last season, when Kareem Hunt went to the bench and Charcandrick West or Akeem Hunt would come in, those guys, they're role players. They're not really a threat to run the ball. They're just not. Spencer Ware is. He's an exceptional runner. He's got great bounce through contact. He's a lot like Kareem Hunt. He can be a very punishing runner. Ware is, if anything, more physical. He looks for contact because he's a little bit bigger. But he's also, he's got great vision. Not elite vision. He's not Jamal Charles, but he's got great vision, good patience. He knows exactly when to cut back, which is huge in these zone blocking systems that Reed loves. He really does a lot of useful things. I think, like you said, we forget we had expectations of Spencer Ware last year as being an, a not, you know, elite running back, but hovering around that top 10.
Yes.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he gets hurt and people's memory is short. So this is a huge thing that he is back and healthy. That's a huge deal for the offense because what it means is they can genuinely rotate running backs and keep Hunt completely fresh, which is great. They can run two back sets with two guys that are equally as dangerous running the ball. I would say Hunt is the better runner. Hunt is the better runner. I think Ware is the better receiver of the two of them.
Yeah, that's interesting. And sure.
And that also means that we don't need to be on pins and needles with regards to Kareem Hunt's health.
Right.
Because if he gets nicked up, Ware can jump right in there. And I think the Chiefs have learned in recent years that running back is a position where guys are going to get nicked up, even if they only miss a game or two, or if they're just kind of nicked up for a few series. You see that all the time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And last year when that happened, it was Wes or Akeem Hunt, and they just don't present the same dynamic. With Spencer Ware, you can bring him in, and the offense doesn't have to change.
Yes. And also, the Chiefs restructured his contract, which maybe it's to move a little money for Breland, but I think really what it does is it makes it even more logical for him to be the guy that comes out of that that giant group of running backs that they have right now. He becomes more affordable. Well, again, being the second most talented back in that backfield. And I think it's reasonable to say that in the NFL, running back like number 12 through 25 or whatever are very much determined by their fit and their scheme. Or I think those guys, talent wise, can often be very close. But I think Ware's in that group.
Absolutely, he's in that group, and he's versatile.
Yeah,
and that's what separates him from a lot of backs. He's a decent blocker. He's a good receiver. He can play multiple roles, and he runs. Angry. I mean, Kareem Hunt is an exceptional runner, and he's a better runner, and he's even better at shaking tackles, which is crazy, but he is literally, in my opinion, now that Marshawn Lynch has kind of slowed down a bit, I think Kareem Hunt is the best tackle breaker in the NFL. So it's not an insult to Ware.
Yeah, no.
But the thing, the difference between Ware and Hunt is Ware sometimes seems like he's looking to run guys over, whereas Hunt is a little more... He's more just trying to gain yards. And I know that sounds very subjective, but you can see it in Ware's running. Every now and then, and there's a video clip of this in the article I wrote about him just laying out a linebacker against Tampa Bay. And it's beautiful.
Yes,
he'll lower his shoulder, and he did that against Houston to Kendrick Lewis. It's a wonderful thing to watch. So it's a huge deal in that it just adds one more genuinely above average to very good playmaker to an offense that's already just – spoiled rotten with them.
Yes. Did it pop up on your radar at all when the Chiefs were apparently interested in signing Eli Rogers? That, like, did you feel gluttonous in that moment?
I did feel a little gluttonous, but you know they really do. They are clearly, they've got some kind of plan this off season, and part of it is all the Williamses.
Yes.
And the other part, I mean, they want to make sure, from what I can tell, that they are not left with a tough running back situation.
Right.
And, you know, that's a good thing. That's smart. If there's any position in the NFL you need solid depth, running back is one of them.
100%. And all the weapons around Mahomes, it makes all the sense in the world, and yet I'm still surprised to see them doing it. Not because of the Chiefs, just because of the NFL teams, I feel like, don't often go for gluttony that way, and it makes me happy. So speaking of Patrick Mahomes, training camp has started. I saw him stretching earlier today. They were playing Drake, and Patrick Mahomes was stretching. It's the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. peak nirvana, peak euphoria. But you wrote about the relationship between Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, part two. Again, this whole thing can be read on The Athletic, but your first part and your second part were sort of inverted by perspectives. Can you tell us about this part two of the series?
Sure. So part one was about how Patrick Mahomes can help kind of fix Andy Reid's greatest weakness. And we talked about that a ton last week, so we don't need to go into that. This part two was about why I believe Andy Reid's the perfect coach to help Mahomes hit the ground running quickly. And so the big concerns about Mahomes are his gunslinging mentality and, you know, can he adjust to the NFL, that kind of thing. And the overall point of the article, which is, you know, if I may say so myself, it's one of the ones I've had the most fun writing, so hopefully people enjoy reading it.
Sure.
It's Andy Reid, he really manages to manufacture 15 to 20 relatively easy throws a game for his quarterback. Mm-hmm. Throws or reads. Like plays where he's not asking the quarterback to read the entire defense, he's asking him to read one or two defensive players. Mm-hmm. And just read, make a choice between a couple different receivers, right?
Right.
And that's huge. And that's part of why Alex Smith was successful with him and why he was successful with Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh did the same thing. He shortened reads. He didn't ask him to do what, you know, Peyton Manning does or Tom Brady does and read the entire field every snap. And that's where people are saying, oh, you know, Mahomes isn't ready to read an NFL defense. Here's the thing. On tons of snaps per game, he's not going to have to.
Yeah.
Now, that's if I give to you that he can't. I'm not sure that's true either.
Right.
With the whole Beyond the Arm series and stuff.
Right.
But the reality is Andy Reid is perfect to kind of he's kind of like training wheels for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's why he's been able to make so many quarterbacks look decent while they play with him. And so the floor, this floor that people are frightened of with Mahomes, mm-hmm. in my opinion, that floor gets raised considerably because of Andy Reid's existence.
Yes.
And because of how controlled the offense is, ideally, enough times per game there will be easy reads and throws that Mahomes just has to read a couple guys correctly and make a good throw.
Yep.
And then it's those other times in the game where things fall apart. That's where the part one of the series comes into play, and Mahomes' ability to ad-lib comes in. So in a perfect world, you get the best of both. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea of this being a perfect marriage. If things work out the way I'm hoping they do, it really could be a perfect world where Andy Reid, being himself, helps Mahomes win easily on 20 plays a game, and then 5 to 10 plays a game where the wins don't come so easily, Mahomes is able to use that playmaking ability to drag the offense's ceiling higher.
100%. And I'll let you go here in just a second, but I love the Seth test of things, of things I've thought of, and I want to let you tell me if it sounds ridiculous. You just touched on one of the things there, the perceived floor of Patrick Mahomes actually being higher than it is. I was looking at the AFC West quarterbacks, and the way that people talk about all these guys, and they give a lot of benefit of the doubt to where Phillip Rivers and Derek Carr's ceiling could go without acknowledging that Phillip Rivers' arm might fall off, and I'm not totally sure that Derek Carr is good. And so I've made the argument that with the explosive ceiling that Mahomes has, I would legitimately take Mahomes out of the AFC West quarterbacks this year. Does that pass the Seth test? Would you like to tweak it in any way whatsoever?
With Phillip Rivers, I mean, he's clearly the best of the bunch right now. But like mm-hmm. you said, every year there's that feeling, okay, when is he going to have that Peyton Manning in 14 or 15 or whatever year
right.
it was,
right.
where his arm just fell off? Because
yep.
Rivers' arm has been bad for years.
Mm-hmm.
And with Manning, we were all saying the same thing. Yeah, every year his arm's, you know, a little worse, but, you know, he gets through it with savvy, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But then one year, it just wasn't enough.
Yep.
They were just too much floating in the passes. And with Rivers, he's been looking at that for years. And so I just don't trust that. That's tough for me. Derek Carr, I'm kind of right there with you. I, for a while, really feared him.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, when I see him last year without elite pass blocking, I don't know. So I would take, for this year only, I would still, I think right now, take Rivers.
Ugh.
Just because of how well he does still manage to play.
Right.
But I got to tell you, it's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a feeling that after 6 weeks, everyone who covers the NFL who's honest with themselves is going to say they'd take Mahomes.
Well, I'm not going to wait for 6 weeks. I'm there now because I am a pioneer and I am fearless, and I also am blinded by my love of Patrick Mahomes.
Those are all good things to be.
Seth, also I'm blinded by my love of you and having you on this show every week. Thank you, as always, for making the time, and good luck. Good luck getting just explosive amounts of Benadryl for your children. Just all of them.
Oh, it'll be copious amounts, I'm sure.
Copious is a much better word. Thank you, Seth.
Yep, take care.
The one, the only Seth Kizer of The Athletic. Please go read all of his stuff on that exact website. Yes, it's behind a paywall. You have to pay for analysis and journalism in this instance, and I promise you, it's worth it. All the work that Seth does, all the work that everybody across The Athletic, not even just the local stuff, everybody everywhere, will get you value for it. They don't pay me to say that or anything. I wish they would. That'd be awesome. If The Athletic would like to pay me to tell people what I'm already telling them, I would absolutely take that money. But I pay for it out of pocket, and I love having Seth on this show and reading his work and everybody else's. So please, go check out The Athletic. I think you'll be very impressed by it, especially all of Seth's work. You can also follow him on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan, and go get your allergy tests. Kids, I just did that. It's especially important if you're a kid, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. It just felt like that was something that I could say that would be, you know, like fair and reasonable. But I don't know. Maybe that's irresponsible. Maybe don't. Ask your doctor if your kids should get allergy tests. There it is. That feels safe. I think I'm safe on that one.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.